Yeah.
God.
Hallelujah, there's a word in the house tonight. So open and hear what they say the Lord on tonight. Truly, the Lord is in this place. It's been a long time. It's been a long journey. But he's been right there. He's been right there. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this part of the service and put our hands on our bishop. Bishop Omar Zachary. Come on and let's celebrate Jesus. Oh, he's been right there.
All right, God bless you. God bless you tonight. He's been right there by my side. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Look at somebody and tell your neighbor, treat nobody to be like the Lord. Ain't nobody. Amen. God bless you tonight. All right. Amen. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. It's in him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. Without God, we can do nothing. Amen. So we're so excited, so honored to be in your presence. Just one more time. The Lord has allowed us together. Just one more time. I would like to call your attention tonight very briefly to the book of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. 1 Samuel. The third chapter, 1 Samuel, the third chapter. We want to call your attention to verse number 9 and verse 10. 1 Samuel, the third chapter, verses 9 through 10. Yeah. We greet you as always in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on behalf of me and my precious wife and all five of our children. We'd like to say welcome here to Bishop Omar Zachary and family ministries. Amen. Amen. We're so glad. We're knowing that with the storm, amen, storms of life are raging. Amen. We here in our city, Gwinnett County, the city of Atlanta, the metro area, amen, we've had our effects of the storm. I don't forget what the storm name is. Who? Storm Zeta. All right, that's what they tell me. Zeta is sweep through the city. Amen. So many power outages and different ones are having difficulties with their Facebook and with their phones and all kinds of things. Amen. So we're just so excited that yet God is still moving by his spirit. Amen. God is still moving. We didn't get any calls of anyone's houses being damaged or didn't get any calls of any anybody had to, family member, anyone experienced death throughout the day by the way of Zeta. Amen. So we're grateful, amen, on tonight for God's grace and his mercy. Amen. We also like to thank Sister Asia for being here. Another one of our young people, amen, young ladies on the camera. Amen. She's here assisting with our Chaos Blog Talk Radio and extension over into London, England. We're working on, they're able to catch us listening, but we're working on the videos to be able to have them with us live over Facebook Live as well. So keep praying, amen. We thank God for the doors that he's opening and for the ways that he's making for us here at Praise Tabernacle Church. All right, 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 and verse 10. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. I see a lot of our elders, some of our elders, who I see Elder Bluett. Amen. Thank God for him. Amen. No Elder Oliver is on. Amen. Thank God for him. Amen. His wife, Lady Keisha Oliver. Amen. All of our listeners through Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Our engineers, all of the sponsors, we thank you so much for being with us. Amen. All of the listeners, thank you so much. Amen. Let's read. Let's go into the Word of God. Amen. Thank you to my precious wife. Amen. My daughter, my baby girl, for leading us in praise and worship. Amen. My sons on the keyboard and on the drums. Amen. We're so grateful that the Lord has allowed us together. Just one more time. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. And we want to look at verse number 9 and verse 10. Amen. Those, amen, that are live with me in the studio tonight, do you have those scriptures?
Amen.
Amen. All right. I want y'all to read it. Amen. Read that with me on the count of three. And you, right where you are, would you read the scripture, read the word of the Lord with me. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 9 and 10. On the count of three, let's read. 1, 2. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. Let's read that one more time. It, just reading the word of God just excites me. Amen. Let's read that one more time, verse 9 and 10. Amen. Read it again. Read. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen, amen. God bless the reading of his word. Look at your neighbor. If you got one, and say, neighbor, tonight's topic is,
tonight's topic is,
I'm available.
I'm available.
Yeah. Come on, clap your hands and just let me hear you say, I'm available on tonight.
I'm available.
Yes, Lord. Amen. I'm available. I'm available. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. We ask now that you would send your anointing that makes preaching and teaching easy. That the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Let no flesh give any glory in this service, but all glory and honor goes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm available. Are you? I'm available. Are we available? Are you available on tonight? Most, if not all of us, have things in our lives that we seem to be readily prepared for. We seem to be excited about. We're zealous to go after. We're zealous to accomplish several things that we can reminisce or even think about or even write down even right now. Be it our jobs, our relationships, our families, or perhaps our businesses. These things can take priority in our lives. Yeah, these things can really not just take priority, but if not monitored and without the right amount of balance, it can consume us. Worrying about our jobs and money and financial difficulties and how we want to make it to the next level, relationships. You know, how are we going to fix this? It's not working out. How can we make this relationship better? Our families or even our businesses. And as we stated, these things can take priority in our lives. We can become so infatuated with striving to reach our personal goals by any means necessary. I wish I had a witness in here. Amen. Some of us, we've done things and we didn't care who we had to step on or step over to get achieved because we had, as the old folks would say, a one-track mind. We had our goals in view and we would do whatever it took in order to accomplish and reach those goals. We would volunteer to get to work early and to stay late. Volunteer without even being asked. Yeah, I would love to come in early because we're looking at some extra money. So we would volunteer to get the church, Lord knows we don't volunteer to get the church early. But yes, we would volunteer to get to work early and in the same boat volunteer to stay late. We would go about and we would go above and beyond to prove our commitment in our relationships. Also, we would strive to please family in every aspect, even families that we know really may not even care much about us. Don't you know just because you got the same blood as another individual, that does not mean that that person, amen, prioritizes you? When you look back through the scriptures, amen, the most problems that folk had, amen, was dealing with their own kinfolk. Lord, I wish I could preach it here tonight. The Bible even talks about Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Why don't you just wave your hand and shout power? Amen. Most of our problems come from those that are close. And the first death, amen, the first murder in the Bible came from kinfolk, the ones that had the same blood. So we have to be careful even with dealing with family. Yeah, we will do whatever is necessary to claim our success. We will do whatever is necessary to pursue and to obtain a successful business. And I'm not suggesting on this afternoon, on this evening, that any of these things are wrong. But what I am saying or what I am suggesting to you is how many of us are readily available for the work of the Lord.
Come on, Bishop.
I'm not saying it's wrong to go after your job and willing to climb the corporate ladder and being available in relationships and friendships and being available for businesses. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. But where the problem comes in is when we are readily available for that, but we're not readily available for the service of the Lord. That's where the problem comes in. When we're not available, amen, for what God needs from us. We're readily available for that man or for that woman. We're readily, come on, Brother Zachary. We're readily available, amen, for that supervisor, for that boss. But when it comes down to God needing you, we have so many excuses. We have so many reasons on why. Well, I'm not this. I'm not that.
Yeah.
Don't you know God already knows you ain't this and you ain't that? And that's possibly the reason why he wants to use you. But are you available? My daddy used to preach and say it like this: your love for me is no good if you don't have love towards me. Wish I had a witness in here. My father also, he would often say, what good is it to know the best mechanic if he's never available for you? Oh, help me tonight. I can't get much witnesses here. Amen. What good is it to know the best mechanic
know the best chef, to know the best doctor, to know the best lawyer if they are not available. What good is it you to have a pastor, amen, to go to a church and have a pastor that's not available? Woo-hoo-hoo. Amen. And what, let's flip that part. I can flip that side if I know about pastors. Amen. What good is it, amen, to have to be a pastor and to claim all these number of members, but the members are never available to you? So now the pastor got to do everything because the members that God has sent to help build, amen, they're no longer available. So we have a lot of pastors that have to do, amen, more than what the call of duty is because the members are not available. So more pressure and more stress falls back on the leader, amen, when God has blessed the members to be a support system to the pastor. But are you available? I hear what you're saying, but are you available? Can I count on you? Not just for one service, but can I count on you? I think that was Fox 5 that used to have a slogan. I think it was dedicated, determined, and dependable. So we thank you. That's good, Sister Kenya. We have to do our part as the body. Okay? We have to be in place. We have to be readily available. Amen. Not as much for the pastor. Don't get me wrong on that. But ultimately for the work of the Lord. Okay? Ultimately, kingdom incubators, kingdom building, ultimately for winning souls, we have to be readily available.
Yes.
Come on. Stop putting it on other folks when God has already anointed and gifted you to do it. Lord, help me. I'm gonna get Lord, ain't gonna get much. Amen. Ain't gonna get much help out here tonight. But amen. I'm out here in the sea. I got to swim myself. Amen. So we're not suggesting that it's wrong to go after these things, but there is a problem with these things. When you're available for these things, but you're not available for that, you're not available for the work of the Lord. You're not available for the ministry. Lord, help me tonight. So we have so many excuses on why we can't be available for God. But we find every reason to be available for our personal goals. We find every reason. We find excuses why we can't be available for God. But we will find every reason. We'll knock over every stone in order to obtain our personal success. And I'm not, once again, I'm not saying that's wrong, but when that overrides, when your personal achievement or your personal goals override what God has placed in your life, then we got a problem. Houston, we have a problem. So you got to have balance there. You got to have balance. I've said for years, so many folk in the church know how to have church. Amen. They're great in the church, but when they get home, don't nobody like them because they have not practiced balance. They're a great pastor, amen, to the members. They're, amen, a great preacher to those that listen. They're a great singer. They're a great musician. But when they get home, nobody look at them as if they are great. They're not a great father. They're not a great mother. They're not a great child. They're not a great sibling. But when they go to work, they're the best thing since sliced bread. I like that Elder Newitt. Build my house first. Build your home. Amen. You should be first great in your own home. Charity. Lord, help me tonight. Charity starts at home.
Yeah.
Then spreads abroad. It's a shame, and I keep saying it because it's the truth. It's a shame that, amen, your own family don't like you, but the church don't love you. It's a problem with that. It's a problem when the children in the church can call you daddy, amen, and can reverence you as father, but your own children can't stand you. It's a problem. You are saving the community, but your own children going to hell. It's a problem. Are you available? Daddy, father, for that seed that was planted and you produce, are you available? Tired of Negroes, tired of pastors and preachers that are great in, amen, in the church, amen, but don't even speak, don't take care. The Bible says a man don't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. You're not just, amen, an unbeliever, you're worse than an unbeliever. You don't take care of your own. You want to show me you're a bishop? Take your collar off. Take your rings off. And let's go talk to your wife. Take your robes off. Amen. A friend of ours, he was getting ordained, an overseer or something like that. Amen. He told my wife, won't y'all to come and want Omar to wear his class A vestment. There ain't nobody wearing class what? I didn't wear a fine suit. They couldn't get me to wear a uniform to Shamley. Amen. I ain't wearing all that. And I told this same brother, I said, man, you want to know if I'm a bishop? Open up the Bible. Let's see what Paul called Timothy. And let's see what Titus, what Paul explained to Titus. We got so many Negroes. They got certificate because they done hooked up with this sissy. They done hooked up with that sissy. They all sleeping with each other, but they know how to dress up like the Pharisees. They look the part. Got so many good boys following them around, and they are available. They know in one church they call them the altar boys, and that was in the cabin. Now that came into the Protestant church. And they done put another name, called them armor bearers. I got a problem with, amen, a bunch of men following one man around. Amen, you won't even follow your wife around like that. No, let me preach to somebody. We're talking about, I might have to do part two. Amen. We're talking about being available. Before you want to secure, amen, the pastor, secure your family. Come on. Negroes don't want to hear this. Amen. You got suddenly, you got the FBI, CIA, DET, ABCD, EFT, all these groups of folks, all these men protecting you. If everybody protecting you, if somebody run in the church, who's protecting the wives and children?
Right. The children, come on.
The men of praying tabernacle know anybody bad enough to run. First of all, amen, almost everybody praying tabernacle holding them. You got to know when to hold them. Amen. But they already know. You don't need to come find me. Amen. Because I'm running to my wife and children. They already know. You better go protect your family. Oh, heaven. This type of preaching ain't. Folks don't like this. Because we want to seem important. And you impotent. We want to seem like we somebody. I got my collar on. I got my cross on. Well, what happens when you take that stuff off? And you recognize you back to little brother Omar. Like I stated, and I got to get through here. My children, they honor me, and they know I'm a pastor, and they honor me as that, but they call me daddy. They don't call me bishop. They don't call me pastor. They call me I'm their father. I'm their daddy. My wife, when she get up here, she'll say, amen, thank God for our pastor and our bishop, amen, but when I don't put my clothes where I'm supposed to, or when the bed is messed up and I don't make it up like I'm supposed to, she called me Negro. And she called me something else, she don't say bishop. Because I was looking at her funny, she called me bishop, and then say something in other words, she say, afterward, when I don't put my drawers where I'm supposed to. No, let me get on through here tonight. All right, let me get through a message. Okay, so we got to make sure we have balance. Let's look. You don't have to turn that. Let me get this to you real quick. In chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are introduced, okay? Chapter 1, we're introduced to a man called Elkanah. You can go back and read this. I'm just going to give it. Evangelist McCall, I'm just going to give it to you real quick. But in chapter 1, 1 Samuel, first chapter, we are introduced to a man called Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives. Now, this was back in the Old Testament. That don't mean we should be practicing polygamy now. Okay? This is just what God allowed. Didn't mean it was his will. Didn't mean that this was supposed to happen. Some things God just allowed. Y'all ain't gonna help me tonight. Right? So he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Okay? Right? And Elkanah being the righteous man, watch this, the father being a righteous man. Okay? And his family, Elkanah would lead his family to Shiloh yearly to worship and to make sacrifices to God. When they would get to Shiloh, get to the tabernacle, get to the place for the sacrifice to make to be made, at this time it was Eli was the priest. Eli and his sons, amen, did the priestly duties at this time. So Eli, once he would get done, he would, amen, they would cut up the meat and do these different things. He would give a portion of the sacrifice, amen, a portion went to the priest, okay, because that's what the priest lived off, what the people brought. Okay, symbolic, pastor, what does that mean now? That means, amen, you should, Lord, y'all, I know y'all ain't gonna like this, but amen, some folks are gonna, you should take care of your pastor. Ah, Lord, amen. You should make sure your pastor is okay. Amen. I don't care if you get, if you got EBT, EBC, amen, whatever you call it. Think about your pastor, amen. This is just how it is. Okay? I'm just, all right. It ain't pastoral, but I just got to tell you the truth. So, Elkanah went, make sure the right portion went to the priest. He would give a portion to his first, to his wife, Peninnah, and her children. Okay, the children that he had by Peninnah. So he would give a portion of the food to her and to his children by her. He'd also give a portion to Hannah. But at this time, Hannah had no children. Okay, so every year, they would go up to Shiloh to worship, to make sacrifice from the previous year's things that whatever went on. Elkanah would lead his family up. And it got to the point where Peninnah was making fun of Hannah. Because Peninnah was having more than enough children. Probably every year they was going up, Hannah was, Peninnah was having another baby. So she was beginning to poke and make fun of Hannah because Hannah was barren. Uh-huh. Hannah had no children. Okay? So Hannah began at one time while they was going to worship, Hannah was found and saw by the priest Eli. She was praying. Okay? And while she was praying, she was asking God for a male child. She was asking God, amen, to bless her womb. She was tired of being bullied. Tired of being picked on. Sometimes it's the folks that's in your own family. Okay? Sometimes it's them folks. I told y'all in the beginning. Sometimes it's them the ones that got the same blood or got a relationship, supposed to have a close relationship with you that can sometimes, amen, pick at you, to make fun of you. Right? Yeah. So as Hannah was praying, Eli saw her and thought she was drunk because he could see her mouth moving, but he couldn't hear what she was saying. So Eli thought Hannah had been drinking a little too much during the sacrifice. And thought that she was, the scriptures say, a daughter of Belial, meaning wild. Okay, not being able to control, just wild, just untrainable, amen, just kind of doing what you want, you know, just uncontrollable. But Hannah explained to Eli, I'm petitioning the Lord for a child. And sometimes when you want something from God, you got to forget about who's looking at you. Yeah. Lord, help me tonight. You got to forget about so what the preacher, the pastor, the bishop is looking at you. When you need something from God, man, if that means you got to roll on the floor, if that means you got to roll backwards, you do what you need to do because you're trying to get God's attention. Hannah wasn't concerned about her status in the family. Amen. She wasn't concerned about her status in the church. She needed a blessing from the Lord. And when you need something from God, you'll forget about everything else. We sang a song that said, just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So Hannah was making a petition before the Lord for a child. Hannah makes a vow. She makes a vow that if God gives her a son, that there's a child of a son, then she would give the child back to God to serve God. That's where we get christening and dedication from. Anytime we do a dedication at our church, we read from over here in Hannah and Samuel. God gives a child, and it's the parents' job to give the child back to God. And I just want to know, amen, let me mess with you parents out there just a little bit. Stay with me. Amen. But I got to mess with you. Amen. How many of you forgot to give your child back to God? Now you wonder why Junior, amen, he's only in kindergarten, but amen, everybody in the school scared of him. He can't even eat lunch. Junior ain't never been in the first grade, and he can't even eat lunch with the regular folk. He got to eat lunch with the cafeteria people, with the janitor. Because Junior's so bad. Okay? Because we forgot to give God, give our children back to God. We forgot. Well, this is my child. You know, I'm going to take him to church, but they ain't got to listen to nobody. And then you wonder why don't nobody want to watch your children. Because you've already told June boy he ain't got to listen to nobody. And that June boy get in the kindergarten or pre-K, slapping the teacher and kicking everybody. And you wonder why he gets kicked out of pre-K. Because you have trained him the wrong way. But we're supposed to train up a child in the way that he should go. When he get old, he won't depart. So Hannah gives Samuel back to God. She makes a vow. Lord, if you do this, listen, I'm going to move on. But how many of us have made vows like that before? God, if you do this, I'm going to do that. And don't keep it. Thank you, brothers, little brother Omar. Amen. He's helping me preach over here. I made a vow. You sang another old song. I made a vow to the Lord, and I won't take it back. One of those verses said, Lord, help me to keep my vow. I won't take it back. Some of us, before the vow, before we can get that out, we had already taken it back. Okay, so she promises, God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back. Eli tells Hannah, may God grant you your request. A little time later, God blessed Hannah with a son. And they named the son Samuel. Over in chapter 2, Hannah starts by praising and thanking God for her blessing. She reminds and reflects and she glorifies God for how he's looked down on her. And she makes a declaration on the goodness of God. Hannah keeps, chapter 2 also, Hannah keeps her word. And once Samuel is weaned from the breast, once he's no longer drinking breast milk, he's weaned from the breast, she takes Samuel back to Shiloh. This is her vow. She's doing what she said she was going to do. How many of you made vows now? Lord, if the church ever, if the building ever opens back up, pastor ain't going to have to call me, ain't going to have to wonder where I am. I'm going to be the first one now. You ought to quit. You already know. I can't even get some of you on the Facebook Live to be on time. How in the world are you going to? Lord, help me tonight. Oh, you're going to get a hand. You're going to get a chance. You're going to get a chance to see. Pastor ain't going to. What about me? What, I can't wait to get back. Well, I'm going to do battle. We're going to see. We're going to see. So Hannah keeps her word and brings Samuel back to Shiloh. I'm getting through now. To minister to God by serving the priest Eli. So you can't say, well, I'm just serving God. You serve God by serving people. How's that, Brother Omar? Jesus said, what you do to the least of my little ones, you do unto me. Yes. Well, it's just me and the Lord. I'm just giving all I got to the Lord. No, you got to need your money like that, but that family that you just passed in the grocery store that God, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit spoke to you and said, give that person $20, give them $100, and you rebuke the Spirit, and you bind the Holy Ghost. I know that ain't God. All I got is $20. Okay, let me get through. So she brings Samuel after he's been weaned back to church. Brings him back to church, gives him to Eli for him to minister to God by ministering to Eli, being a servant to Eli. Listen, before you can be served, see, all of us want to be served, but I just want to know, can you serve? I know you can be served, but I want to know, can you serve? I got two cameras in here now. I got to work both cameras. I want to know, can you serve? And I know you can sit there and be served. But what can I put you, what board, what auxiliary, what can I count on you to do when you are serving somebody else? It makes a difference. My time is short. Hannah keeps the word. Bring Samuel, gives him to Eli. God sends the word to Eli about how displeased he is with how Eli has allowed his two sons. This is all in chapter 2. He allowed his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to do all kind of perverted things in the church. And as a father, he wouldn't rebuke. Amen. And we got a bunch of churches now. They thought they were going to get me like that. Pastor, you shouldn't say this. You shouldn't rebuke that. You shouldn't call nobody's name out. Uh-oh. But we got scripture that God got upset with the priest because he would not correct his own children. And here we are dealing with a church. Pastor, you should, it's a video, you should say, and if it happens again, I'm going to reprove and rebuke again. Because the scriptures give me the authority to. And I can't be weak as leaders, elders, and events. We can't be so worried about what the people say where we forget we got to ultimately answer to God. There's no way you can allow folk to run raggedy in the church and just do their own thing and nobody says nothing. Somebody got to say something. I think of Paul, so said, preach the word. Thank you, told that to Timothy. Be instant and in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke. Yes. One scripture he told, rebuke before all that others may fear. And they do it in secret. Amen. You can work with them secretly. But we talking about devils that do stuff openly and still don't think you have to say nothing to nobody. The devil is a liar. Somebody got to preach. Somebody got to cry loud and spare not. And I choose to be that pastor. Thank you, Brother Mark. Brother Kitchen, that way I can make sure that the blood is not on my hands. If I tell you and you repent, you'll be saved. If I tell you and you continue in that way, and God comes back, in hell you'll lift up your eyes if you don't turn from your wicked ways. How do most of us know? Lord, let me get through here. How did most of us understand and come to the knowledge that we had wicked ways? The reason how we knew and came to that knowledge because we had a preacher. We had a preacher that told us that the wages of sin is death. We had a preacher that would tell us it's wrong for you to be sleeping with that woman that's not your wife. We had a preacher that would tell us shacking is two folks that ain't married, living together, and acting like they married. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except to be sick? That's the problem. That some of you just don't want no preacher. You want to be entertained. but go to the movies. When you come to church, it's soul business. It's the most important job on earth. Because not only does the preacher, listen to this, and I'm going to be true, not only does the preacher affect your natural and what happens here, but what the preacher does affects you eternally. If he's preaching the right gospel and you hear it and live thereby, you shall be saved. And with the same gospel as he's preaching it, she's preaching it and preaching it right, and you don't hear it, you don't obey it, in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. Then we move on over. Eli did not correct his sons, allowed them to just sleep around in the church. Wouldn't say nothing. Wouldn't really rebuke them, wouldn't really sit them down, but allowed them to just keep doing what they want to do in the church. Which brings us to chapter 3. If you look at chapter 3, look at verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. I'm getting through here. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And the word of the Lord is precious in our days now. I'm so grateful and thankful to God that even throughout this pandemic, the word has not failed.
Never.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word is going to stand. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place. And his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And earth, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the child Samuel was laid down to sleep. Thank you for fellowshipping with us tonight. But verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here am I. I forgot to tell you this, it's free, but if you go back to chapter 1 from the time Samuel was born, every few scriptures, God will remind us that the child Samuel grew. And I just want to know, is there anybody here that throughout these 7 or 8 months, you can just throw your hands up and say, Lord, thank you, I can admit I have grown during this time. So let the Lord call Samuel, and he answered, here am I. I just want to let you know tonight as I close, God is still calling out names. Verse 5, and he ran unto Eli. Got to Eli and said, here am I. For thou callest me. In other words, at this time, Samuel did not know the voice of the Lord. Samuel had not heard God's tone. And he heard somebody call his name, but he didn't know it was God. He thought it was Eli. So the Bible declares that he went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not. Eli said, boy, I ain't calling you. Go back and go to sleep. Go lie down again. And the Bible declares that Samuel went back to bed. And I heard voices that the Lord called Samuel yet again. know the law. All the things Samuel knew was his job was to serve Eli. And I just want to know tonight, is there anybody here that's grateful that you got an Eli in your life? Is there anybody here that's grateful that you got somebody that can point you to Jesus? I heard the Bible declare. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel had no problem serving Eli. He had no problem being under subjection to another person. I want to tell you tonight, the only way up is to first go down. The Bible declares, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then the Lord will exalt you in due season. Why don't somebody wave your hand and shout, yeah? Wave your hand again and shout, yeah. The Bible declares in verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Samuel arose as time before and went to Eli and said, as he said before, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had been calling the child. You must understand, some things in life, our children may not understand. There are some things in life that our children may not be able to comprehend just yet. And it's our job as parents to tell our children about what God is saying. It's our job as parents to tell our children about the goodness of God. Oh, somebody shout, yeah. Say it again, shout, yeah. Since the Bible says in verse number 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go not down again. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I just wonder, is there anybody here that's made up in your mind that you declare, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? Is there anybody here that's made up in your mind for the rest of your life? You're going to be available to God for him to use you as he will. I heard the Bible declares, Eli told to go lie down, and it shall be. If he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And those 10 herein are focused. Those 10 that the Lord came and stood and called as an unuttered time. The Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. When Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Is there anybody here that glad you heard the voice of the Lord? Is there anybody here that glad you became a available from what God needs from you. Is there anybody here that's excited that God is still calling your name?
Is there anybody
here that's excited to know God is still blessing? God is still calling my name. God is still healing. God is still making ways. Let's do like Hannah did and give our children back to God. The Bible declares in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse number 1, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come nigh, but the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Is there anybody here that's available to God? If you're out there watching and listening, and you are available tonight, for so many years, you've been available to Tom, Dick, and Harry. But tonight, you decree and declare, I'm available to the Lord. In your past, you've been available to see the Shirley and Sarah. But tonight, you decree and declare, I'm available for the Lord to use me however he sees fit. Is there anybody here that's ready to work for God? Good evening, y'all. bless your heart. I got one more thing I got to tell you. I'm reminded in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse number 6, the Bible declares, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he get old, let me say, when he get old, he will not depart from me. Being in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse number 8, the Bible declares, oh, so I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go forth? Then said I, here am I, send me. In other words, God needed somebody to be available to redeem man back to God. He tried Abraham, and Abraham failed. He tried Isaac and Jacob, and they failed. He tried Moses and Joshua and Caleb, they failed. He tried Samson and David, and they failed. He tried Solomon, and he failed. He tried Daniel, and he failed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was a good boy, but they failed. Malachi, Habakkuk, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah were good prophets, but they failed. But I heard the Bible say in Hebrew, the 5th chapter, verse number 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices. The sin thou hast had no pleasure, but I heard first the voice above wind. He said, matter of fact, verse number 7, then said I said, no, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will. Oh, God, Jesus became available. He came down to 40 and 50. Generations got down here. He said, I'm available. He healed the sick, raised the dead. 5,000 souls he fed, all because he was available. They hung him high, stretched him wide, all because he was available. He died. I said he died, all because he was available. They took him off Calvary's cross, buried him in a barn tomb, only because he was available. He was in there all day Friday, but he was available. He was in there all day Saturday, on his way to being available. I heard him say, you restore this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it again. Early. I said, early. Early, y'all. The Thursday morning, Sunday morning, he became available. And he lives. And because he lives, I'm available to preach the gospel because he lives. I can lay hands on the sick because he lives. I can cast out devils because he lives. I'm available. My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord. Oh! To show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty. That's the reason why so many of us are not available. We got too much junk in our storage. Not just the natural storage, but the storage of our lives. That's the reason why some of us can't get delivered. That's the reason why some of us can't get our breakthrough. Because we have so much stuff in our storage. But the songwriter wrote a song, he said, my storage is empty. Anything that's not like Christ, I'm getting rid of it. I'm giving it away. Let somebody else have it. I'm going to burn it. It does me no good. My storage is empty. I like that other duet, consider your ways. My storage is empty. My heart is empty. My mind, my ideas, I'm emptying out. So that you can fill me up. That's when the song comes in. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. I lift it up. Come and make me whole. Have I got any witnesses out there that will say, Lord, tonight, I declare, you decree and declare and all kind of stuff anyway. Might as well decree and declare according to the word. I'm available. I'm available tonight. They can't preach like others, but I'm available. If you want me to preach, I'm available. I may can't teach like others, but if you want me to teach, I'm available. I may not ever be on Sunday's best, may not ever get a singing contract, may not ever get a record deal, but if you need me to sing, I'll sing for you. You just need me to be an usher in the tabernacle, I'll be an usher. If you need me to be a doorkeeper, I'm available. I'm available. I had to make some calls today, send some texts. Hey, just want to know, are you available? Are you available? I just want to know, Pastor wants to know, thinking about some things. I want to know, are you available? God made you on my heart. Are you available? Can you assist with this? And everyone I spoke to said, yes, Pastor, I'm available. You can count on me. Count me in. Yes, I'm available. And that's all God wants to know, like Samuel. As a child, as a young child, he said, Lord, here am I. Thank you so much for being with us on tonight. All of those that are watching, amen, by chaos, that are listening through chaos. Those over in London, England, and the UK, God bless you tonight. Facebook family, God bless you. I want to say a quick prayer. We'll raise our offering, then we're going to have our benediction. But this first prayer is for somebody that's out there that's listening to me tonight. And this word found you right where you are. You weren't planning on tuning in. You weren't planning on being in church tonight. But you tuned in and you heard something that got your attention.
And now you want to say, Lord, I'm available. You say, Brother Omar, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What must I do? I'm a tell you. It's real simple. The easiest things you can ever do in life. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just repeat this quick prayer. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. Those who are watching by YouTube, I believe you died on Calvary's cross. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. And I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead. And this night, I open up the doors of my heart and I welcome Jesus in to be my Lord and Savior. And this night, I decree and declare I'm available. My hands are available. My mouth is available. My feet are available. Use me, Lord, in any way you see fit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. If you said that tonight, we would like to stay here at Bishop Omar Zachary Ministries. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Thank you so much. Listen, it's our Thursday night. Amen. We're going to raise our Thursday night offer for those of you. If you've been blessed by this ministry or tonight, we're going to give you an opportunity tonight. As we saw Elkanah yearly when it did right by the priest. And I want to thank so many of you for these last 7 or 8 months. You have been doing right. You've been blessed. You've been a blessing financially. And I thank you for that. Thank you so much for you that throughout this pandemic, you've still been hearing God say, hey, be a blessing to your leader. Be a blessing to Brother Omar. Be a blessing to his wife. And I thank y'all for that. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. If you would like to be a blessing tonight, you've been touched by this word. It pricked your heart, maybe made you a little mad. And you would like to be a blessing tonight. We have two different ways. We're not going to do this long. We have two different ways in which you can give. If you would like to be a blessing, only if God lays it on your heart. If you would like to be a blessing by Cash App, you can do so. The Cash App information, it'll come right to us. $ O-Z. That's Omar Zachary. $OZ. And the number's 264. Once again, Cash App. I say, I want to sow into that ministry, beautiful family. I just want to be a blessing. How can I be a blessing? You can do it right now. Cash App, $OZ264. Once again, that's $OZ. That's Omar Zachary. And the number's 264. You can call directly if you want to use PayPal, debit, or credit card. You can do that also. You can call our financial offices now at 678-760-6056. Once again, if you would like to use a debit or credit card, PayPal, Zelle, any other kind of way, if you want to mail it, call this number, 678-760-6056. And may the Lord bless you. Real good. We thank you for so. Thank you for just. If you're not able to give anything on tonight, we thank you so much for just tuning in. And may the Lord bless you real good. Got a couple of names that we want to call out tonight on our prayer list. Amen. And we want you to, those that can, write these names down. Write these names down. So often we can forget right after service. Who did Pastor say pray for? Who did he call? I know he's been calling out this thing and that thing. Who did he say? Write the names down. And when you get in your family circle, hopefully y'all are still doing the family prayer. When you get in your family circle tonight, just call out these names. Write them down. Amen. My cousin. Amen. It's like my family just has been A lot of things have been going on in my personal family, my wife's family over the last month or so. One of my older cousins, Brother Dermaine Brown, we called him Little Lil. And him and his, he's a twin. He was Little Lil, his brother was Fat Fat. But they're Jermaine and Dermaine Brown. Amen. But this is Dermaine. He had open heart surgery earlier today. We got word on yesterday. We have been praying for him. We're grateful to God. We got a report just a couple hours ago that he came through the surgery well. Amen. And that he's in recovery. So we thank God. Amen. Thank God for seeing Brother Dermaine Brown through. Amen. That's Brother Dermaine with the D. Dermaine Brown. Let's put him on the prayer. Let's lift him up in prayer. Also, Sister Siobhan. This is a family member of the Martin family all the way in Chicago, Illinois. Man, they lost their 3-year-old child a few days or so ago. Amen. And I got word that they had lost another child, amen, before that. So we want to keep Sister Siobhan and her family in prayer. That's out of Chicago, Illinois. Also, the Bluett family. We want to continue, amen, praying for the Bluett family, Sister Asha Bluett and the entire Bluett family. Let's keep them lifted up. The Harris family, in the death of Mother Harris, Mother Rachel Harris. This is the family out of Linwood Park. Amen. Mother Rachel Harris, just a couple months ago, she buried her son, Bishop Severity Harris. And we got word that she passed, I think, last night. Amen. And we want the Harris family to know we're praying for you. Brother Craig Harris, Sister Sean Harris, very dear friends of our local church. Amen. Brother Craig, we thank God for him. He's been supporting us, especially during this time. Amen. He's been a financial supporter of our church. And we're grateful to them, to him, to his wife. And we want to keep the Harris family in prayer. Also, my family again, the Walker family, in the death of my cousin, Brother Dante Walker. Amen. So y'all continue to pray for my Auntie Georgette, my Uncle Danny. Amen. And we'll be funeralizing Dante on this Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. So continue to keep the Walker family in prayer. Also, amen, my nephew, Brother Dor. Amen. I'm getting word almost every day. He's tearing up everything. He's tearing up the house. He's beating up his daddy. Amen. Beating up his mom. So let's continue to pray for the Tate family, my nephew, Brother Dor. Also, the Stokes family, Elder Leroy Stokes. Amen. Talked to him on last week. We got some good news, amen, on his behalf, and we're grateful to God. So we want you to continue to pray for Elder Stokes and Evangelist Stokes, amen, the Stokes family. Also, the Martin family, Brother Wendell. Amen. We know he was in the hospital, I think, a few days or so ago. We want to continue to pray for him and his mother, Sister Melanie Martin. Both of them, they've been kind of back and forth in the hospital. But we know God is yet able. God is yet willing, and he's yet able. And we're grateful. Amen. We got some others coming in on prayer list. All right. All right, Sister Miss Shirley Hill. One of our teachers over at Jordan Middle School. Amen. She's going to be out. Amen. Miss Shirley Hill, let's pray for her. And I think she's having surgery. Amen. It'll be out for a while. Let's continue to pray for her. Amen. We know, amen, all things work together for the good to them that love God. Amen. And God told us that we can pray for the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. Avail as much. Listen, if you don't have no other reason that you can think of to praise God, praise him for a reasonable portion of life, health, and strength. If you can lift your head, he's worthy to be praised. If you can talk, if you can run around, you can run in place, if you can wiggle your fingers and wiggle your toes, God is yet worthy to be praised. Thank you so much for being patient with us on tonight. Praise time. I'll continue to pray. Amen. We are in discussions now. Thank you, Elder Deacon Berger. That's right, Elder Fuqua, one of our elders, Elder Barry Fuqua. Me and him been playing phone tag over the last week. Amen. He's in the hospital. Amen. Had a heart attack, had heart issues. Amen. But we thank God. Thank God that, amen, they were able to get him to the hospital and he's doing a lot better. Thank you, Deacon Berger. I forgot to add his name. Amen. So let's keep Elder Fuqua, Elder Barry Fuqua, amen, in our prayer. Okay? So let's, you know, we got a lot to be thankful for. Got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Let's continue to pray. We thank you so much. So we meet again on Sunday morning. Meet us back here at 11 o'clock. Amen. All of those that are watching and viewing in London, we thank God for you. All those on Chaos Block Talk, Elder Oliver, Lady Oliver, we thank God for you, Sister Asia. Amen. Our other recorder, video person. Amen. Thank you. Our young people going to work. Amen. Thank God for my precious wife looking as good as she. Amen. All right. And all my children. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Meet us back here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We appreciate you. We glorify you again. You've been so good to us. Every name that we've called out, we know you're yet able to touch, heal, and deliver. You're the only wise God, our Savior. And we thank you, praying that you will strengthen and touch these your people, that your own hand touch, that your healing virtue go out in the name of Jesus. Let your blood cover in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we believe you for testimony. Amen. We thank you for yet doing and yet showing yourself strong and mighty in the lives of these your people. Bless them in the name of Jesus. As we leave this place, remember your presence, Matthew 28, 19 through 20 tells us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, with you always, even to the end of the world. God bless you. Yeah.